Welcome to this week's edition of The Journey of Hope. I'm your host, Rodney Mathers. The Journey of Hope is a weekly podcast designed to address the issues faced by men and women after incarceration. On the program today is Dr. Richard Norris, and we're going to be speaking with him about his book, Hoof It, The Seven Key Lessons on Your Journey to Success. This is an excellent book. I highly recommend it. You want to be sure and stay tuned for this now. We'll be back with that interview right after this on The Journey of Hope. Couple of weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. Next week we have Mr. Mo Stiegel, and following that we have Mr. Stephen Askew. Excellent interviews with gentlemen who have targeted ex-offenders in their writing materials and their speaking tours. These guys have got some advice that is gold, and you want to be sure and stay tuned for Mo Stiegel and Stephen Askew coming up the next couple of weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. Welcome back. On the phone with me is Richard Norris. He's written a book called Hoof It, The Seven Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much, Rodney. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It sure is nice to have you here on the show. Listen, let's just get started by getting a little bit of background about you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Well, I'm giving a call from Scotland, but obviously my Scottish accent is not coming through because I'm actually Canadian. I grew up in Canada, and my whole life was focused on becoming a veterinarian, mm-hmm. which I did. And I did it for 12 years, and that's what brought me over to the UK, because I joined the British Army as an officer, as a veterinarian. And then I got out and did postgraduate studies in internal medicine and ophthalmology, and then pretty well, I was very dissatisfied with what I was with. Where my career was going there, because it wasn't where as I started, it was what I was passionate about. I quickly lost the passion, and everything indicated, and the Lord sort of said, you need to move careers. So that's what I did, but as part of the transition, I went off and did an MBA to try to figure out what I was good at. Mm-hmm. Everything came back, I should be doing leadership and personal development, but regrettably, what happened as a result of that was my year finished 3 days after September 11th, so albeit I did have a new job, It disappeared overnight, and I was unemployed for 18 months, and I got out of that by actually buying myself a job. I bought myself a business coaching franchise. Learned a lot, mostly about myself.
Right.
I did that for 5 years, won some awards, and then out of that, I transitioned into being head of global development for a people development, leadership development company over here in the UK that had a global imprint. And then I stepped out of that back in September last year. I'm pretty well going out on my more to develop my own business in the area of leadership development, specifically around self-leadership and promoting my book and speaking, starting speaking tours. So that sort of brings you up to date. Married, two lovely kids, walking by faith, not by sight. And I'm an endorphin junkie by background because I was a competitive swimmer for 23 years. So hopefully that's 3 years digest abridged version.
Well, let's pick it up with your book then. What prompted you to write the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it was one of those situations where I found myself saying the same thing time in, time out to the clients that I was coaching. And I thought, and then I just had this bee in my bonnet. You've probably heard the same term, Rodney, as perhaps some of your listeners, where somebody says everybody's got a book in them, but most people don't write it. So I thought, well, let's turn this into a book. But interestingly enough, I particularly, specifically having read thousands of scientific papers, which put me to sleep, I knew, and even the business books that I sometimes use, I find them really dry reading. Mm-hmm. And yet the stories and the books, business or otherwise, that actually impacted me most were the ones that are actually stories. So I challenged myself to actually turn the lessons that I'd learned, and then partly they came out of coaching clients. It came from my observations as a competitive athlete, as a coach in sport as well as in business. And I decided, well, let's turn this into a story. So other than having a framework, and the story is based on a metaphor around migrating wildebeest on the plains of the Serengeti.
I saw that, yeah.
There's an orphan calf named Vic, and he's mentored by a bull on the annual migration and learns seven lessons along the way to progress his own journey of success.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, apart from the framework, I had a one-page sheet of paper that was the outline of the book. I had no idea what I was writing from one minute to the next. It was a completely inspired book.
Wow. I noticed that you wrote it in the form of a parable, and I really like that. I have a lot of authors here on the show, and I read through their materials. This is unique to me, anyway. And I'm curious, why did you go that way with a parable? Was it just to kind of spice it up, or, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think there's a few combinations. One is, if you think about it historically from day dot, even if we go back to biblical times, before they could even read and write, they were passing on everything by story. So innately within mankind is the ability to tell stories and to learn from stories. And for me, the lessons that have always stuck with me, whether it was my dad telling me what he used to call Brer Rabbit stories or reading business books, the ones that tend to land with me are the ones that, whether it's like Who Moved My Cheese or something, because you sort of engage both sides of your brain, the left and right, whereas if you just read a traditional book, particularly a business book or something, it's generally left brain oriented, so it's very factual, and you're almost reading in what I describe as two dimension. But the story form actually engages both the right and left brain. And I just had some feedback from a guy who read the book yesterday, and he said he sometimes got so lost in the characters of the story and the story that he said he forgot it was actually a personal development book. It was a book that he could apply to business or any role in his life. So it was really just it was partly a challenge for me because I didn't realize just how hard it was to write dialogue, but it was also I just knew that it was going to have more impact with a reader than if I just wrote like 10 pages of, just based around the seven lessons, which I could have done quite easily, but it ended up turning into a 186-page book because you had to build dialogue and scenery and a storyline. So,
now, this is something that ex-offenders, which is our audience here, can apply to their lives as well, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
And as far as ex-offenders, it's not necessarily people that I've had much contact with, but the thing is, the whole story is premised on everyone's on a journey of success, regardless of where they are. And it's just a question, sometimes, regrettably, some people take a detour. or some people get stuck in a lay-by, if we want to use that, a rest stop or something. But, you know, it's all about, you know, do you want to get back on track to progress your own journey or accelerate your journey, depending on where you're at? If you just if you just got out of detention, you know, are you going to come out and are you going to focus on, let's turn my life around and let's put the pedal to the metal, so to speak? And it's all a question of, really, the book is giving people a framework that they can use to help them start to get their lives or the particular roles they're going to apply it to realign so that they can actually progress their own journey in whatever aspect that is, and helping them understand specifically, Rodney, what's their definition of success to begin with, and then appreciate the analogy that, you know, we've all heard it, or most of us have probably heard it, that success is a journey, not a destination. And it's really appreciating that and realizing, well, how do I make my journey more enjoyable and more more enjoyable and more effective, I guess.
Well, you know, that's why I agreed to have you on the show. It's obvious to me that you believe, as we do here on the Journey of Hope, that anyone can achieve success regardless of their circumstances. And so this gives you kind of a roadmap, I'm assuming, to do that. And I don't want you to give your book away, but can you give us a sneak peek at maybe one or two of the seven lessons that we'll run into along the way?
Yeah, no, I'll happily give you all seven, because I can do that quite quickly. But the thing is, it's what you do with the seven, really.
Okay.
It doesn't take very long to do it.
Great.
Did you have something to share there?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. The first lesson is, when you're getting started, you must have a very strong vision. You need to know where you're going, point number one, or lesson number one. Lesson number two, on top of that, you must be passionate about it. There's a lot of people that we're experiencing right now, and I would take your ex-offenders as well. You're going, well, okay, what do I do now? And it's really, figure out what you're passionate about. And, you know, when you're passionate about it, as you probably heard, you're going to be far more effective at doing it. So you need to make sure you've got a very strong passion. Number three is, you must be absolutely committed to achieving it. There's no point in using the word try, because try for me is somebody, when my clients say that, I ban the word, because effectively it's them giving themselves an escape clause, and I don't allow that. So it's like, you've got to be 100% committed. You know, otherwise, you know, it's like the analogy of, you know, a chicken's contributing eggs, but a pig's committed to bacon. You know, it's absolute or nothing. Number four, you must be prepared to change and learn, because, and I would expect this with a lot of the ex-offenders, you know, with the ones who are getting, really want to get back on track, they know they've got to change, they're prepared, they're very open to learning. In many ways, they're very coachable, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is, they must be decisive. They need to know where they're going and make decisions based on that. You know, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Procrastination, contrary to popular belief, is not a decision. I don't know about you, Rodney, but I certainly procrastinate on some decisions in the past, and it's cost me.
Mm-hmm.
And then number six is, once you've made a decision, because I also know people who've made a decision but still don't do anything with it, so number six is, take action on it. And then number seven is, it's a bonus one, which I describe anyway, is, you need to know how to have fun, because if you're miserable and negative about it, then it's going to be a very bumpy road, and you're going to find yourself getting a lot of flat tires along the journey. Whereas if you embrace everything with an attitude of joy, an attitude of fun, the journey gets a lot easier. And you time, as we know, from those of us who have actually traveled a long way on some trips, when it's fun, the time passes really, really quickly, and you pick up things a lot faster.
Let's go back to number six for just a second. That one I'm interested in, taking action. A lot of times we'll find that, and I know from talking to people that listen to the show, that they can make a decision about doing something and they know it's the right thing to do, but it's like, you know, putting the foot out the door, picking up the phone. What can we bring from within us to help motivate us, to get us started in the right direction? Do you have some suggestions along those lines?
Yeah, that's a great question, which I haven't really had before. And there's different ways of looking at it. Sometimes you pick something small that you feel like you can do, because effectively, in many instances, I would expect this perhaps with a lot of the ex-offenders, and then it ties in with lesson number four, is they're going to be asked to do stuff that's way outside their comfort zone. So don't try and do something that is so far outside your comfort zone you never embraced it before, because let's face it, when you're doing that, most people, the reason why it's a comfort zone is because they're afraid of what's on the other side. Mm-hmm. So you look for a small step you can do and say, yeah, I can do that, rather than say, listen, I'm going to do 100 phone calls to do today. You know, you go from zero to 100 in one day. No, you say, today I'm going to do one call. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's like eating the elephant one bite at a time. But another way to do it is, you know, you've probably watched the old Army movies or war movies where they used to say, you know, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. And you get the drill sergeant or whatever saying, you know, ready, aim, and then fire. But the better way to do it is do ready, fire, aim. Because sometimes you just have to get started so you get feedback. Because, you know, there's a great expression that I picked up. Is you can't wait until you've got all your ducks in a row, everything's worked out, you've got all the information you need. Sometimes you just got to get started, you'll get feedback, and then you can make adjustments. If you think about the Apollo moon shots, 99% of the time, they were not on target for the moon. They had to keep doing course adjustments. So for yourself, just fire off the platform, and then you'll start getting feedback, so it'll help you get even more focused, and you'll get feedback to say, is this on track? Yes. Is it off track? No. But another key thing to understand in the area of taking action is just appreciate that, you know, if you look at the word action, the key thing is in the middle, that word is the word I. And it's really, you break that word down, it's I must act on. So just get started. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, no matter how small or how big it is, but just get started, because half of the thing is it's easier to move something it's easier to change direction on something if it's moving than if it's completely standing still. Like try and move a parked car with the brake on. If you're just pushing against it, it's not going to work. Whereas if it's already moving, you can push it in another direction a little bit easier because the momentum is already there.
Mm. And you bring up a good point with feedback as well. I don't know how much you address this in your book, but sure. Those of us that have been incarcerated, you know, when you're incarcerated, you have to have a certain edge to your personality in order to survive in there all the time.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And those kinds of behaviors are not pro-social behaviors when you come home, and we have to get rid of those behaviors. And what I have found as I've been doing this show is a lot of us that have been incarcerated have a problem opening up to feedback. You know, we get very defensive. Would you have some suggestions on how to open up to feedback and to listen critically, but to listen to what people have to say?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And probably the best thing, and you probably be able to guide me a little bit on this, Rodney, but part of it is you start opening up to people you definitively know and trust.
Right.
And I appreciate that the trust issue might also be something you've got to guard quite closely. I know for me, I'm rather protective, and I habitually learned to trust people implicitly, and then I've had my fingers burned a few times. Mm-hmm. But part of it is look at people that you trust implicitly. Or, you know, if you know that there are, let's say, there's services out there where people, you know, even if it's a self-help group or something where there's, you know, people who've been where you've been before, who've had to go through what you've had to go through, and who can actually show a model, you know, and sometimes it might be a case of, I don't know, I know over here to a degree they have mentoring systems for ex-offenders. And if there's a mentoring system out there, then that's great because it's got empathy. So it's finding people who have empathy with where you've been. Mm-hmm. So then you can start to relate and slightly, I guess in some ways, some of your experience might be causing you to put down the layers on an onion, and so it's now a question of just peeling it back. And so it's just half of it is just practicing listening, and half of it is just knowing, you know, pick one thing that you say, that's not too sensitive an area, but I really do need to learn how to open up. You know, you start with a reasonably softer subject than some of the stuff that's really bottled up inside that's going to take a while to uncork.
Mm-hmm. This is excellent information. I really like the fact that the book is written in the form of a parable. That's really cool to me. It makes it not so dry.
For me, it would be normally those types of books. Just, you know, after about 10 pages, I go, gosh, I have to read this book, and it's a chore. Whereas most people that have read the book have actually read it in one sitting because they just get so caught up in the whole story.
Right. What a great idea. And so how do we get in touch with you, and how do we get a hold of your book?
Sure. No, that's a great question. You can drop by drrichardnorris.com, and it's drrichardnorris.com. And for your listeners, they can access a free MP3 download on there with respect to it's the seven key lessons, or no, it's the seven sustainable secrets for success in life and business. And on there, they can also access through Amazon. They can get the books. They can just order them there. And the e-books are also now, I'm having issues getting those on Amazon, but they're on Barnes & Noble. So you can get that copies of the e-book as well.
Very
cool. If
you
want to drop me an email, just drop me an email at rnorris@ypn, that's Yankee Papa November, companies.com.
Richard Norris, the book is called Hoof It, Seven Key Lessons on Your Journey to Success. Mr. Norris, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I really pray that God blesses your ministry and blesses all your listeners.
Thank you, Richard. My name is Rodney Mathers. You're on the Journey of Hope, and we'll be right back after this. Where they turned out the lights, they would say you'll never know. I remember running through the wet grass, falling a step behind. Both of us never tiring, desperately wanting. When they pumped out your guts, filled you full of those pills, you were never quite right, deserving all the chills. Downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit and think about myself, and then there she was. Hey, keep those emails coming. We love hearing from you here. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. And I want to have a special shout out there to you people on the Care to Social Networking. You guys have been very supportive of the show, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much to all the people out there on Care to. We'll be right back after this. Once again, we've run out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I want to thank my special guest, Dr. Richard Norris, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? See you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.